Let me look at you tonight. You smell great. Whatever you're using, keep buying it. You have no idea how privileged I feel to be here tonight. Because 20 years is not a decision you make. All we saw is the highlight reel. But 20 years, it's only the faithfulness of God. And an absolute yes to God's way, His will, His delight. And entrusting you guys with such a beautiful daughter that I met today. She is gorgeous. Your kids, your family, such a beautiful representation of God's work in and through your lives. So, you know, Pastor Robin, most time when you speak at churches, you walk up and you're ready to speak. But as I was sitting there tonight, you know those moments where you go like, just beam me up, beam me up. This moment is waited. And I am so privileged. And now that you mentioned the food in the first one, I don't even know what it is. I've never heard that word in my entire life. And secondly, I ain't going out there. Because when I came off the airplane, I have all long shirts. And I came off into this tunnel. I go like, dang, Austin is cheap. They have no air conditioners in this thing. I go like, dear Lord, I can't breathe. And then when I came out of the airport, I go like, dear Lord, they live in this. Who sinned? Because this is the judgment of God, people. This is not normal. You know, we have 8 months of snow. Minus 12 to 15 degrees. That's grace. So for those of you who are here, double points in heaven, three times the points in heaven. But what a beautiful community to be here. And there is such beautiful providence in this. So tonight, I've got such incredible notes. But now that you said there's food, what do I do but pray for food and then we go? Because, you know, anything free, it's over. But tonight I want to talk to you about prized faith. Because, you see, miraculous faith gets you to a place. But it's prized faith that keeps you sustained in that place. Now, I love The Office. Michael Scott, I pray, gets to heaven. I would go, Jesus, give me a landing spot next to him because I just love him. When he says, my job's to get you depressed in 2 minutes and then to work you right through it. Because you see, there is a reality about our faith. There's a reality about God's promise. There's a reality about that song that we sang, I trust in the faithful God. His promises are yes and amen. God is not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would say one thing and do another. And so often in church we sit and we look at other people. Have you ever looked at other people and you go like, dang, they get it. You get in your car and you go like, my life just stinks. Because they get it. When am I gonna get it? So tonight I want to hold with gentle hands, sustaining prized faith. But you may first think that I've lost faith. Before you will believe me, I understand prized faith. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, When you think it's a heresy, it's the accent. It's not a heresy, okay? It's the accent. I've got to tell you a joke. So, you know, to this day, I cannot order through a drive-thru. To this day. I go every morning and I order a blonde, flat, white. And the woman says, "You want a white pipe?" I go, like, "If you've got one, I'll smoke it." Never heard of white pipes at Starbucks. I won't smoke it. I'm just saying. I won't smoke it. And they said to me, "What are you preaching on Sunday?" I said, "I'm preaching on stuck in a fence." And then on the screen behind me, it says, "Stuck in a fence." I go, like, "When the Bible have you read of somebody being stuck in a fence?" I said, "I'm preaching on stuck in a fence. Being angry, being not happy, being unforgiven, offense, not a fence." So you know the song that I love? It's Eddie, right? Eddie, O-U-N-G. You know the song? "I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands." Come on, you know it. "From the moment I wake up until I lay my..." Oh, it's so beautiful. Come on. "I will sing of the goodness of God." Oh, you guys are good. All my life, come on. "All my life you have been faithful." Oh, you can do a little louder. "All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath, I will sing of the, I will sing of the goodness." So there's a couple in my church. For 11 years, we would pray for them to fall pregnant. 11 years is a long time. Every Sunday I see them, and they come for prayer. I go like, "Oh, dang. Come on, God." Have you ever felt that? Come on. I promise them, he's faithful. Then she falls pregnant. Have you ever felt like you represent a promise? And when it happens, you go like, "Thank God. I was losing hope. But thank you, God." You know what they call him? Samuel. Oh, I love that. Because remember, Hannah prayed for a child. She couldn't have a child. "Oh, when I held Samuel, I said, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. I'm holding Samuel. See, you're a promise keeper." 14 months later, they called me and they said, "We found Samuel dead in the crib." Oh, I rushed to the hospital. When I walked in, Samuel was wrapped up in a little blanket. They put him in my arms and say, "You are going to raise him from the dead, right?" I held Samuel and I prayed. Have you ever asked why, but you're scared that you're going to sin when you ask why? Yet I had to sing, "All my life you have been faithful." Standing in open grave, I had to say, "All my life you have been so, so good." Then there is this family in my church. They were at every prayer meeting. You know, one of those families that have got 5 kids under the age of 8. Clearly no TV in the house. And they're one of those families, every Saturday they pray, we pray, and all the kids are there. My wife sometimes tells me, I'm going to give you two reasons why you need to go pray. Because you announced it and you're the pastor. Get out. But these kids' family is there. 3 a.m. in the middle of winter, I get a call. She found her husband in their garage, dead. He was fixing his car with a propane heater, and he didn't vent the place. So I'm rushing there, and as I walked into the house, she sits with all her kids, and she said, "You are going to raise him from the dead, right?" I went in there, and the state trooper was there. He was already in the body bag, and I unzipped him, and I knelt, and he was purple. I said, "Jesus, there is a wife and babies in that house. You said these signs shall follow them that believe." I prayed my best prayer. He didn't move. State troopers looking at me and go like, "How long is this raising the dead prayer supposed to be?" I didn't have the courage to go in the house, so I just prayed again and prayed again and prayed again. Because it didn't look like the faithfulness of God. I went into the house and I had to tell her, God didn't answer. Maybe I didn't have enough faith. Because sometimes I think our belief in God is so transactional that we have an absolute picture of the absolute answer in order to say, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been," come on, so good. Come on. "With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God." So what do you do with incomplete pictures? You know, I was raised Pentecostal like many of you. Then, word of faith. Robin and I have the same story. And when I met Erica, she and my wife would get arrested. I swear as anything. If they had to go out, because there's something in her eyes that you just know she's going to get into trouble. My wife's exactly the same. And Robin and I haven't known a reckless day in our lives. Because we were raised to pray and raised to believe. And then we're so literal. The Bible says, if you say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," and you doubt not in your heart, you will get exactly what you say. How many mountains have you seen move? Literally. You think it would be recorded, wouldn't you? And then it doesn't work. And then I read, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say unto this man, I go like, "Oh dear Lord, I don't even have faith like a mustard seed." And I saw mustard seeds in your office. I would throw it out so quickly. Because in that moment, I would look at that and go like, "I'm not even good at that." Because literally, we want to literally believe that our outcome in this life equals God's faithfulness. But what if I tell you that God has a purpose with incomplete solutions on this side of eternity? What if I tell you Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrow? Why would the Son of God be acquainted with sorrow? You know what acquainted is? Personal, intimate relationship with something. Why would Jesus ever say, the one who flung the stars into existence, why would he ever say, the Son of Man? Birds of nest, foxes of holes, I have no place to lay my head. He was misunderstood, rejected. They wanted to stone him to death. When he said to his disciples, are you going to leave me too? Think about it. You know what Peter said? Not, no, I'm standing with you. Peter says, where else will we go? That's like reassuring right there. You know, I'm convinced that when I die, I will have a very big funeral, because even the people that hate me want to come and go like, finally. Even your enemy shows up for your funeral. How many people was at Jesus' funeral? No one. Rejected. You may ask the question, why? What if I tell you that God is the rewriter of painful, incomplete stories to redeem it for the purpose of a more excellent faith? You know why? Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, now we have a high priest that has deep empathy and compassion with us. Because he doesn't mentally, cognitively understand our pain. He is acquainted with your pain. But you see, if we believe all of our outcomes have got to be our way, and we cannot live in the paradox that God doesn't live on the timeline from now until I die, and whatever doesn't get answered shows that he's not faithful. Because what if I tell you he owes you nothing because he's already given us everything? What if Jesus dying for us is more than what we ever need and deserve? I love to talk about prayer, Pastor Robin, and I always ask the question, and I kind of dig in there, why don't you pray? And people go like, no, I pray. I go like, come on, Jesus is listening. Angels are watching. Now it's double I and you don't pray. You know what I mean? And there's no double jeopardy in this. They go like, because God doesn't answer prayer. I said, when was the finish line for prayer to be answered? Because I know for some of you sitting here, you are sitting in the paradox of faith, and I was raised to ignore that. You know, I was raised that when you're sick, you can't say you're sick, because if you say you're sick, then the miracle can't really happen. So they pray for you, you healed. And they go like, are you healed? Yeah, I'm healed. Because the magic formula says, if you confess wrong, you just killed the whole thing. Really? God's faithfulness is so timid that saying it wrong, he goes like, oh, you just mess with the formula. Because you see, I want you to know that you cannot imagine God using your ordinary human life that is incomplete and painful, stories that if you were to tell it, we would not even know how you're holding your life together. Things that have been done to you, things you've been through. We cannot imagine that God could be part of that. But you see, if you're angry at God and you hold him responsible, you cannot trust him to rewrite your story that you can be a wounded healer. Because remember Jacob? Please say yes. Otherwise, I've got to tell units that I can smell the food already. Remember Jacob? People, Jacob was really not a kind person. When he was born, he wanted to be first. He dragged his brother's heel. He wanted to pull him back in the womb. He cheated his brother. Then he worked for his uncle. He worked for the beautiful daughter he married next, wake up next to the ugly daughter the next morning. I don't know what they were drinking at reception. You know what I mean? And you go like, if I had to watch this, I would go like, yeah, that serves you. That's payback. What you sow, you will reap. But you know the goodness of God extends in a story in your life that far surpasses your performance, because when you're in your mother's womb, he wrote destiny and history in your life and in what's going on and in the complete and in the paradox. Because God works on a timeline of eternity, not just the time you're here on earth. And Jacob says this, what they meant to harm me, God didn't allow it to harm me, but he meant it for good. What if I tell you what you've been through, what you carry, what is incomplete, what wants to steal your absolute belief in a faithful God? It's part of a redeeming story that God wants to rewrite your story, because the world are trying to find the reality. Can people believe and live in reality of an incomplete world that we cannot understand? But if you're angry at God, you cannot truly yield to him that even holding baby Isaac can become a redemptive story. Because you see, once you're acquainted with pain, but you're holding on to trust, now you can have deep empathy with people that are going through the same thing, and they're not looking for a solution. They are looking for someone that still has faith in a God who has not completed the picture yet. But if we keep promising what people don't always experience, at which point do you stand back and go like, this ain't working? So you know, I love this book of Hebrews. And I'm paraphrasing. This, I swear it's anything, it's in the Bible. But food with is coming in here, and I know that I need to finish this up. But now I'm getting close to something that is so powerful. The Bible talks about the heroes of faith. I love that. As a kid, I read that. All the stories we told our children were of the heroes of faith. Bible says, Daniel in the lion's den, shut the mouths of lion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire. And who they found? Fourth man in the fire, and the fire was seven times hotter. And the Bible says, these men, they put armies to flight. They went into foreign lands. It says this, women raised their sons from the dead. It talks about all these profound things of the miraculous of God. And I go like, oh, that's the kind of God I serve. And then it says, but. Come on. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, there's always a but in a story. No, I mean it in a good way. There's always a but in the story. But then it says, Hebrews 11, but others were tortured. Mocked, flogged, even in chains of imprisonment. They were stoned to death, sawed apart, murdered with a sword, not swords. Destituted, afflicted, ill-treated, wanderers in the desert. But they are mentioned in the same hall of fame. Now imagine they all arrive at heaven in the same place. I bet you Daniel's going to say, you threw me in the lion's den and I was so scared. But oh, I trusted God. And I began to sing, what a mighty God we serve. And then the mouths of the lions were just shut. And here comes the martyrs. And they go like, well, we were eaten by lions. God? Really? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, oh, not even a hair was singed on our body. Do you know how many people were set on fire for their faith? Do you think any of their families ever wondered, where is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Have you ever heard someone else's testimony and you go like, great for you. But where was God when I went through this? But you know what scripture says about them? He says, and all of these people, though they gained divine approval through their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. Because God kept for them an even greater reward that can only be completed when we are with them. Oh. So wait a minute, God. So you were intentional about the miraculous that can happen and the miraculous that will happen. Can we be okay to believe in a faithful God even though we know that our promise has been intentionally delayed and there is an even greater completion that awaits? I'm going to finish with this. Because, you know, as a pastor, I've always heard people say this, and I would preach it. Funerals for me is a sad time, but I love funerals. I stink and love funerals so much. It's the only 30 minutes people treat other people like we should treat people. People walk slow. They hug deep. Nobody sleeps in a funeral. I've never seen anybody sleep at a funeral. Everybody is too scared because they know they can die too. Every time I preach, I can point out all the people that's asleep right now. No offense. You probably need the rest. Not at a funeral. And then we say comforting things where they are, there's no more pain. Everything is complete because death stops all wounds. Remember this guy, Thomas? Please say yes. You know what Thomas means? Twin. You know who's Thomas's twin? I am. You are. Because Thomas, when he heard Jesus, rose from the dead. Because I am one, I can say it. He was not Pentecostal. It was not word of faith. He was like, unless I put my fingers through the wounds, I want living evidence. Now, if I was there with Thomas, I would go like, listen, Thomas, I've preached on this. When Jesus is resurrected, there's no more wounds, dude. That's just how it works. So find another line for your faith. Because I remember the story of the disciples in the storm that says, don't you care that we die? And I always heard that Jesus rebuked their unbelief. And unbelief gets spanked. So what's Jesus going to do with Thomas? Go like, I've given 3.5 years of my life to you, Thomas. Really? I'm going to vote you off my island. You're done. Jesus was resurrected, but he kept his wounds. When he came to the disciples, I love this. He said, Thomas, this is what you need. You need to touch my woundedness, but it didn't affect my faithfulness to the mission of God. People, listen to me. I know some of you are wrestling right now, and it's intentional. I want you to wrestle because I want you to know that your life may have been on the receiving end of miraculous things right now. Everything is complete, but you may be sitting next to someone right now that is wondering, why, God? Remember that guy, John the Baptist? This is the last quiz question. John the Baptist, remember him? Thank God. John the Baptist, cousin. You're someone's cousin. At least you get family points. John the Baptist, there is the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. He told his followers, stop following me. He's the one to follow. Then John got thrown into prison. And the one that declared, there is the Lamb of God, called his disciples back. When his soul was in anguish, he says, go ask him. Go ask my cousin, are you the Messiah? Don't misread that. This is what it means. Cuz. Messiahs gets cousins out of prison. Right? I've been faithful. I baptized you. I did everything. I didn't fail the mission of God. I'm in prison. Cuz, come get me. What did Jesus say? Blessed are you if you don't fall away from your faith because of me. You know what that is saying? I ain't coming to get you. You're going to lose your head. But blessed are you that you have exceeding faithfulness, even though what you expect may not happen right now. Oh. Church, what if God is so faithful that there is exceeding faithful? What if he prizes your faith more than anything? He's not impressed with your talent. He is not impressed with your giving, because your talent comes from him. What you give has been blessed by him. And the fact that you're giving is his spirit working in you with generosity. And then there's this surprising scripture that I love. He says, one day, God will wipe the tears from their eyes in heaven. I go like, okay, time out, time out. What are you going to be crying about? Because nobody's going to get to eternity and go like, oh, they so overplayed this place. Dang. Those Pentecostal pastors made this look so good. No. What if I tell you that the only way for God to wipe your tears is to have proximity to you? What if I tell you that I believe that those who remain faithful in prized faith, irrespective of the answers right now, but they know that the completion is in his time. What if I tell you that if you're sitting with the incomplete story and you remain faithful, that I'm going to be jealous of you one day because you're going to have proximity to the one that's going to wipe the tears from your eyes, and he's going to connect the dots. He's going to award and reward you for your faithfulness that he prizes above everything. So instead of feeling that your faith is not enough, what if I tell you the fact that you have faith is more than enough? What if I tell you that if you're sitting with questions and paradoxes and collisions of what's happening in your life, that it's okay, just hold on? Because what if God surrounded your life with Thomases that needs to still touch your hurts, but God has redeemed your pain? Because we all have a story. And sometimes we don't want to tell people the story under the story because they may think God is not good. Can I tell you something? It's the story under the story that we hold, but still can sing, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." Come on. "With every breath that I am I will sing of the goodness of God." So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes just for a second. Then this is, you don't have to. This is not New Age. I'm just very tactile. Would you open your hands and just put it on your lap? Can you just for a second put in your hands every prayer that's not been answered? Everything that you think, "God, where are you? Where were you? Where should you have been?" Every doubt, every incomplete sentence, every story, everything that haunts you about the faithfulness of God. And I want to say this to you. God is going to make all things beautiful in His time. Prized faith, prized faith. Prized faith. We love Him because of who He is, not what He can do for us when we want it. And I want to invite you to hold your incomplete life and sing, "All my life you have been faithful." Come on, worship Him. Come on, let me see. "All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God." Just one more time. Say, all my life you have forever faithful you are, O God. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. In your own words, "God, I'm laying it down. I'm just going to rest in your providence. I owe no man an explanation because I'm not God. I can't make things happen. I'm not going to carry shame and guilt. I'm not going to feel incomplete in my trust of you. I just lay it down. and I fix my eyes on you, the author and the finisher of my faith, because I know you are faithful from beginning to end. You hold all things. You've written my life. My name is indelibly tattooed, written in the palm of your hands. You are good, God. You are good. Sing with every breath. With every breath that I am. Oh, I will sing. I will sing of the goodness. Come on, one more time. All my life. All my life. Oh, come on, shout it out. All my life, Jesus. All my life. You've been so good. So good, Jesus. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, all my life. Jesus, you have. All my life,
you have been so,
so good, so good, so good.
Every breath,
oh, every breath, every breath, every breath. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the story maker, the wounded healer, the writer of your spectacular life, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord free you to trust Him more than that you need to make sense of it. Oh, may the Lord shine His countenance of favor, grace, healing, providence over you. Oh, and may God fill your voids with peace, church. May God give you the courage to hold up your woundedness, not as failure, but as an invite to the Thomases surrounding your life. That even though I stumble, I'm not going to fall. Even though I walk through the fire, I don't know what's going to happen, but I will walk through the fire. I trust in Him, the author and the finisher of my faith. And whatever happens on earth, that's His side. But when I get to heaven, God will complete the story, and I will walk around with radiance, because my prize faith, He's going to say, welcome, faithful servant, come into a home prepared for you, wear the crown of life, because He was faithful till the end. To Him who's laid up a crown of life, may God heal you, bless you, strengthen you. Say all my life, all my life.